Welcome back, community. This is a conversation between toy collectors. We main G.I. Joe, but our interests expand beyond a single brand or line. The podcast is a chance to discuss the hobby and share the lifestyle of collecting. We welcome you in joining our conversation. This is the Order of Battle. So I don't know why we got on the topic of Johnny Mnemonic. Earlier this fall, I went through the attic and I found a bunch of empty DVD cases, found my DVD binder in the house and started putting all the DVDs into their cases so I could get rid of them because I haven't watched DVDs in, I don't know. And I had sent you a picture of a bunch of mob-ass movies that you were into. And then I had this other stack of movies that I was definitely going to keep because it's all cartoons. And then this third stack of movies that I wanted to just watch again and then get rid of. And so I don't remember how you and I got on the topic. I truly don't remember how we got on the topic.
We were talking about Cyberpunk.
Because the new game's out.
And then Paul sent me the picture of the dude with his dong out.
Yes. Cyberpunk 2077.
Keanu Reeves got brought up and you're like, well, actually.
Because I was saying that it's not Keanu Reeves' first step into cyberpunk, nor was The Matrix his first step.
Yeah, no shit.
Johnny Mnemonic. Legit, I love Johnny Mnemonic. I adore that movie. I have owned it on DVD since it was brand new on DVD. It is set in 2021. It is not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination, and yet I think it's a fantastic movie.
It's also insanely relevant.
Cyberpunk just came out. I haven't purchased it yet. I have a PS4, so I could purchase it. I've been considering it. Everybody's been complaining about the glitches from the PS4. But, I mean, those will get patched. It'll be fine.
They already got patched.
Oh, there you go. And I know a bunch of people are already posting that they love it. Your buddy, our music man, is playing it. But instead of doing that, Johnny Mnemonic. So you said you were going to watch it because you had never seen it. And so I immediately like hung up and watched it that night. Went to bed at 2 a.m. because I had to watch it immediately.
I watched it today.
So where do we want to dig into the old mnemonics of Johnny?
So after I hung up with you, I went in and I'd sent Nicole a screenshot of the Johnny Mnemonic HBO Go or HBO Max title, and she just sent me like an ellipsis. She hit me with two photos. We recently went through all of our DVDs and did like a master list of what we have, what we want, and wedged between like John Wick and Jingle All the Way is Johnny Mnemonic, and she circled it. Apparently, probably like 6-7 years ago, she bought this movie. And she's already seen it, but she bought the movie and I was like, hey, we should watch this. It's got Keanu Reeves in it. And it's like really weird. I texted her about it as if like she'd never heard of it. And she was like, yeah, I told you about this movie a long time ago. I was like, oh, whoops.
Okay. Listen, that movie has Ice-T in it. Henry Rollins.
Dolph Lundgren. Right off the bat, I would say this movie is absolutely awesome. First three things I have written down on my rapid fire note. Crazy dystopian 2021? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Followed by love all the small storage tech. So like the fact that it's supposed to be future and he's pulling out like mini discs and like.
But they still had fax machines.
They still had fax machines. The third note is Yakuza bad guys look amazing. The first thing that stood out to me, and I'm going to save part of this reveal till later in our timeline of talking about this. One of the main bad guys has this like weird like hot wire weapon or like laser wire. I don't really know.
A monofilament whip.
Okay.
I know you have not gotten into throwing dice yet, but I played Shadowrun and Cyberpunk back in the day, and a monofilament whip was exactly that. In the fingertip, they had a piece of monofilament that was energized and could just, or heated up or whatever, just cut through shit like stupid. Whoever wrote this screenplay and directed this movie was aware, because that's exactly what that was.
It took me until the end of the movie to realize that his weird thumbnail was, in fact, the weapon. Multiple times through the movie, they zoom in on this guy's hand, and I'm like, what is going on with this dude's thumbnail? What is up with the thumbtack?
He's a transhumanist because he's weaponized his thumb.
Yeah, because he doesn't really have any other, like, cool features. Just his thumb.
Especially when you look at how many others in that movie had all kinds of crazy features. You know, the bodyguards had all the muscle enhancements and the speed enhancements. Johnny himself had the cortical stack, the brain hard drive. You know, if you think about, what was that movie, 95, 97, something like that?
95, I believe.
95. The computer I bought in 96 had 4 or 8 gig of hard drive space, and that was top of the line large. So when he's talking about in his head, he's sitting on 160, or no, he's sitting on 80, and he doubles it to 160, and then they download 320 into his head. Those are enormous numbers at the time.
One of my favorite things in movies is when it's like a movie that's based on a future, and then you're seeing it long after the movie. So like, this is from 95, based on 2021 future tech. And he is pulling out stuff that was like mini discs were already phasing themselves out. So I'm seeing this in 2020. And he pulls out the mini disc and the cool little player. Oh, man. The briefcase. I can't voice how much I love in like this type of weird sci-fi, noir, post-apocalyptic, I guess, movie. He pulls out the deluxe briefcase. He opens it. It's got the foam insert. Everything's got its space, and he pulls it out, and he's super robotic to a degree. Like,
very robotic.
This.
Keanu's acting chops at the time, oof, it was rough, because he was stiff.
I just watched Point Break again. Point Break is 91, and his acting is severely better in Point Break than it is in Johnny Mnemonic.
4 years earlier.
I think he was clunky because multiple times in my notes I have, like, man, dialogue is extremely clunky here. But what I thought was funny, the point in the movie when he meets Jane, his bodyguard, and they have their, you know, go-to weird science fiction movie where the one person basically describes the entire movie to you because, to be honest, at this point, you have no idea what the hell is going on.
You need an everyman, sure.
That small section of dialogue was significantly less clunky than all of the other dialogue in the movie. And that's normally in a movie where it's like, I don't need you to explain the movie to me. I'm watching it. But in this case, you kind of need someone to explain the movie to you. It kind of just really takes off. You know, it opens up and then all of a sudden he's fighting and here comes the filament whip and here comes, he's plugging his head in and he's upgrading his hard drive.
The beginning of the movie just kills. I mean, it opens with just a straight courier and shady middleman walking into a bunch of newbies and then hitmen.
I'm going to clown on this movie a lot, but I loved every second of this movie. I had a great time watching this movie.
25 years ago, Ice-T.
J-Bone, leader of the low-tech army, shows up with some post-apocalyptic face paint on, an insane wig, and some goggles. You know, it's funny because this movie has elements of The Matrix to it. So then, if you flash forward to John Wick, you have the higher echelon of hitmen, and then there's the underworld, which this is essentially their home base, heaven, and the low-tech gang are essentially the underworld hitmen of John Wick.
And heaven is the Golden Gate Bridge?
No. They're in New Jersey.
Oh, you're right. They are in New Jersey. So that's the bridge into New York.
Yes. They didn't have the budget for California.
You're damn right. Yes, that's the bridge into New York because they're in Newark.
Yes, Newark.
Wow. You'd think like I wouldn't have these questions as many times as I've watched this movie over the last 25 years, but sometimes it's just like power down and roll.
The first big head scratcher moment for me in terms of like the tech and the CGI, Jesus Christ, they break into this like computer store and he sets up fast, let's throw together my little hacker rig.
Yep.
And he puts on what is essentially Nintendo Power Gloves. He's using the gloves to like crawl through the internet and like swipe around and he's typing and he's grabbing things, and he's got this like insane head, like VR headset on.
That's Lawnmower Man and everything else. That was where this was, that's where internet they thought was going. I know we're upset that we still don't have flying cars, but I'm also upset that we don't have that version of the internet.
That version of the internet would be insane.
Wild. And the bad guy, computer hacker.
He's standing there in a lab coat with the gloves on and the VR set, standing in an open lit up room with his arms spread like Jesus. And he hit it with the classic line, "We're in."
We're in. Keanu hit the online hacker contact with the classic line, "I'll set your board down from here, man." And he does the big bear pose. "I'm a grizzly bear." And the guy's like, "Don't shut down my board. You know, that's my livelihood."
Oh my God. Another pace or another thing of this movie that I enjoyed was, so we follow this insane CGI hacker scene that we're having a great time with. And it immediately becomes Mad Max fused with Escape from New York.
She throws the grenade and all of it.
She throws the grenade. Then they're underground. And then all of a sudden they show up to Henry Rollins, the humanoid doctor.
The chop shop doc, yeah.
They show up to his spot, which sitting outside of his house is this beautiful armored, almost like a camper assault van.
You want one of those in 1/18 scale, don't you?
You're damn right I do.
Nicole had to roll her eyes pretty hard at that moment, didn't she? Because you started talking about, like, that would be cool.
I didn't even get to that point because I was I was trying to watch and take notes. I was having such a good time, and like, it's funny how much movies like this kind of keep me hyper focused in more than like a crazy CGI movie or like a 2020, you know, like The Mandalorian or any of this new movies where it's so smooth that it looks, you know, realer than it could look in real life, if that makes sense. But I'm watching this movie that clearly did not have a huge budget. They did an amazing job with the sets and the special effects. And it's like, there's something about that type of movie that just like, I was so honed in and I was just, and then Harry Rollins just delivers his one style of bulldog dialogue. You're like, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy?
Is he on stage?
Why is he yelling at everyone?
Is he acting or is Black Flag here?
Yeah.
Henry Rollins is one note, but I love that note.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even in Jack Frost, when he's like the asshole hockey coach, you're just like, what is happening here?
So taking it back to the beginning, it starts with Keanu Reeves walks into a hotel, or he's talking to his agent, Erdo Kier, who is Ralphie. The classic video screen, all the cigarette smoke. Trust me, trust me, trust me. Keanu Reeves wants the hard drive out of his head, and he saved up almost enough money, but the terms of the agreement have changed, and he has to do one last big job.
Even within that job, he says, if the job pays enough.
It is the most cookie-cutter starting gate trope, and I'm immediately there for it. He goes into the hotel, shuts the door. He puts a motion sensor on the door that nobody ever pays attention to, except for him. He meets the clients, who the clients are two like squirrely scientists and a bunch of dudes with machine guns who also don't pay attention to the motion detector on the door. It's the classic, do you have enough space? Yep. It's a big file. I got it. No questions asked. They're just like, all right, this is our guy.
Let's upload 1.5 times what your brain can hold.
And then Yakuza hitman break in. He is the only competent person in the room and escapes.
And he has no machine gun, by the way.
No, no machine gun.
All of the scientist goons have. What this is another point I want to throw in is, some people have real guns, some people have science fiction guns.
Yes.
A little bit later, we get to the low-tech scenes. They're using crossbows.
They learned it from Scarlet.
Yes. Or whatever that giant guy with the sex slave from Mad Max. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. He's got the wrist crossbow.
Road Pig. He's in the bathroom and he pulls the towel rod off and beats a man down and escapes with a towel rod.
With also throwing in a beautiful one-liner of calling him Baldy.
Did you notice he runs out, he gets in the elevator, and when he gets out, he's got on a long coat, a hat. He has darkened his skin tone. Not like blackface, nothing offensive, but just like a little cover-up So then he just walks out.
Yeah, he puts on a wig, a glasses, and a hat. They show him holding the wig for a second, but he only showed up with the briefcase, and we saw the inside of the briefcase.
Right.
It did not have the disguise kit.
Yeah, it was just enough of the disguise. The wig, the hat, the glasses, a little bit of makeup on the face. And then he walks out with his hands behind his back, super awkward and weird, super inconspicuous, of course. And then he gets on his first class flight, flies to Newark.
Yes.
It's just like one and done from Tokyo to Newark. We're there. I think it's amazing. There's the CEO who has the ghost in the machine that's trying to get him to make the right decisions. Ultimately,
oh
he doesn't
God.
Do. And he has the tragic backstory that isn't really necessary.
That element of this movie is so confusing.
I loved it. It's taking transhumanism to the next level where they uploaded her consciousness into the computer, into the database of the company she built right before she dies. So she is alive and sentient in the company's database. I work for a large corporation. It is insane to think I'm going to put my existence in the hand of a company that's going to change CIOs and CTOs every 3 to 6 years and product developers. It's wild. And then she can project her face into the video phones from the computer network.
Hey, the internet is a powerful place in 2021.
Man.
He walks into a trap.
Oh, yeah, immediately.
So he puts up like another, what I thought was a motion detector. It was just a bomb.
His one-liner, when Baldi shows up, "You lied to me." I adore it. And then the guy's like, "Get on the table, it's time." Time. It's just so time. And he just looks at his wristwatch and the bomb goes off. Somebody scripted out their role-playing game and filmed it, and I'm okay with it.
So we've referenced Ice-T. We've referenced Henry Rollins. We've got Keanu Reeves, who at this point he's on a climb.
And his bodyguard is the same lady who was the lady in Starship Troopers. Do you remember who I'm talking about?
Dina Mayer.
Yeah, she is the one that's in Starship Troopers that, you know, runs with the dudes, has the big machine guns, always talking loud, and then...
Oh, okay, yeah.
Dies on that base. That's her. But in this one, she's been overjacked. Her muscle stems and her speed and everything.
She has, what we find out, the MacGuffin of the movie, is what is stored in Keanu Reeves' head is a cure for this virus that infects pretty much everybody on Earth because everybody is somewhat... cybernetic.
NAS.
Yes, NAS.
Neural something syndrome. Or the black shakes.
We get one of my favorite, one of the most insane villains I have ever seen in my life. It shows the back of someone standing in a church, and there's candles, and they're standing there, and the camera pans around, and it's Dolph Lundgren with long hair and a beard pretending that he's Jesus.
He's the street preacher, man.
And it's this weird balance where he talks about himself as if he is Jesus, but then he also talks about himself as if he is a disciple of Jesus. And I loved every second of the insanity of Dolph Lundgren in this movie.
And that Rambo crucifix knife?
Yeah, it's a crucifix where the long portion of the cross is the Rambo K-bar.
It's wonderful. And he is hyperjacked. And he takes jobs to continue to upgrades and mods to his system. So he is basically the Terminator.
A very important portion of the movie sets up here. So they introduce the street preacher. Keanu Reeves and his bodyguard are at Henry Rollins' chop shop getting repaired. You hear the name Jones get referenced. He's like, we got to get him to Jones. That's going to be the only... That's the only way we can offload the memory out of his head. So they jump into his post-apocalyptic camper assault vehicle. The street preacher Dolph Lundgren walks out, and Henry Rollins, pedal to the metal, runs him over. And then they say, "Well, who was that?" He goes, "You don't want to know."
And the street preacher is psychotic. The bartender is Cookie with a robotic arm. So he cryo-freezes the arm and then smashes it with a hammer. Nails people up to interrogate them to death.
He crucifies Henry Rollins in this amazing underground See, you find out that Henry Rollins is like part of this medical team that works this underground facility that's trying to help fix the Black Shakes, which is what Keanu has in his head is the
And his bodyguard has it.
has the bad Black Shakes.
One of the things that I really liked, the street preacher is insane, but I really liked Ralphie. And when they walk into his club, which is nuts, two bodyguards, both of them are system jacked. And I guess Ralphie's humping both of his bodyguards because it's like weirdly sexual as well as work related. And
In the background of this club, which is I had wrote weird club, ha 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 in my notes, there was like S&M gear dancing and like it was so weird because it was just nothing made sense because it wasn't like a strip club, but there was people dancing, not on stages, but it wasn't a dance floor. It was like
that's what 2021, man, looks like, man. 2021 is all about hypersexualized
cybernetic.
black market courier clubs, I guess. I mean, everybody in the movie except for Henry Rollins and the CEO are transhumanists of some sort, of some degree. And Henry Rollins rails against it, so he's giving us the anti-technology speech, so he's a Luddite. And low tech isn't low tech at all, except for crossbows for some reason.
Their weaponry and form of fighting is like primitive.
The cars on the bridge was so very treehouse trap antics.
Yeah, so yeah, they have cars that are basically set up as bombs, and they pull these levers, and somehow the cars they drop out, and the mystery is somehow they catch on fire on the way down, and then they are just giant bombs. So they blow up the post-apocalyptic van, which is a heartbreaker of a scene.
Think about this Kickstarter that's going on right now, Mission 375.
Yes.
That could easily be heaven.
Well, I'm going to build one. So yeah, they show up to heaven. Keanu Reeves' character, Johnny Mnemonic, is screaming. He's running out of time. Oh yeah, because when you overload your brain,
You're gonna die.
he has 24 hours to offload this data before he's dead. So he's screaming. He's freaking out, and he gives this insane speech where he's like talking about how he shouldn't be down here, dealing with the underworld, and he should be at like this high-end hotel and having a high-end prostitute.
A $10,000 a night prostitute and his shirt's pressed.
Yeah, I want my shirts pressed. He gives this insane dialogue and then just sits down, and Janie looks sad, and then all of a sudden it's over. And then all of a sudden he starts glitching out.
And they kiss
And then they
for
kiss.
whatever reason.
J-Bone, aka Ice-T, comes down on this amazing garbage elevator. They grab him. She's like, hey, he's got the cure for the entire universe in his head. We've got to get this out. And then we hear the name Jones again.
But before that, he had contacted Pharmacon, the big evil company, and made a deal with someone on a private channel that he just had the number to meet them at the bridge. And then there's a second scene where he calls them back and's like, make sure you're going to be here, which seems like they cut a scene because he completely forgets that he called them. He just goes to heaven. One of the things that I really liked about that second scene was they show the guy talking. And then it hard cuts away from Keanu to a hand. The fingers are puppeting inside of like a laser grid, and that is controlling the visual digital puppet person that looks like a real person. And so when he pulls his hand out, the actor does the whole like Weekend at Bernie's head back, dead look. And it's really the CEO. He's laying the trap, and then the ghost of the machine comes out, and she's like, don't do this. Your daughter died. You should be helping Johnny Mnemonic. Not hunting him. Don't let your daughter's death be in vain, which is like a completely unnecessary hat on a hat.
It's a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat.
Extra layer of story that's.
Then the Yakuza Death Squad rolls up to heaven.
Oh, and she warns the CEO that the head of the Yakuza is gonna kill him too. Like there's again this unnecessary layer of double cross and suspicion. So the CEO should never have shown up with the Yakuza Death Squad, knowing that they were going to come for him too. But
Here
you
we
got to have a
are.
finale in heaven.
They get inside, the Yakuza Death Squad rolls up. They start shooting, and one of the guys gets shot and accidentally drops a flaming car bomb on top of a guy. And then this is probably my favorite kill of the movie. This woman gets really mad. She must have really loved her partner. And she starts using an RPG and is just launching Stinger missiles at Heaven. And then Ice-T, the king that he is in this movie, grabs a crossbow, runs to the roof, and shoots it through her mouth. No scope.
In the dark.
In the dark. His building just is on fire.
Jones is kicked offline.
Oh, we didn't even talk about
Keanu Reeves was back in the net as he had to hack his own brain and loop it through Jones to get the data out, even though everyone said the only way to get the data out would be corrupted and you're still going to die. But Jones can make it happen, but Keanu has to hack his own brain, which I think is lovely. Not only that he had to do this, but Jane is watching evidently on one of the 30,000 monitors that are in this weird like pylon stack because she's freaking out. J-Bone is walking her through what's happening on the screen.
Now, here's a very important plot point that we have grazed over.
Jones.
Jones is a cybernetically enhanced dolphin.
Dolphins are smart.
Yes, but when they show Jenny Mnemonic, a.k.a. Keanu Reeves, the dolphin, it must have taken everything in his body just to not burst out laughing. And I don't know how he, I mean, I guess it just goes to show you that regardless of how clunky this movie is, he had some chops. Because imagine turning around and seeing, well, I guess, now that was definitely an animatronic dolphin.
Yes.
Yeah, this dolphin has straight up got like a radar dish that pops up out of its headgear, which it has like a, if you're a machine or if there's a machine, it can, he sends this like ray, this like clear, like,
like a microwave ray, yeah.
Yeah, like a microwave, yeah. Jenny Mnemonic is hooked into the system trying to unhack his brain. Way back to the beginning, when the Yakuza shows up to try to kill, well, try to chop off Jenny Mnemonic's head.
And cryo-freeze it.
To get the data. Part of this whole system with the brain couriers is there's like three pictures that are the password. He has one of the pictures, they have one of the pictures, the third one is destroyed. They're trying to unlock these pictures because without the pictures, you can't unlock to unload the data. So the Yakuza shows up. Jenny Mnemonic is hooked in with Echo the Dolphin. He has to unhook himself to fight. The CEO rolls up with a katana and a 357 Magnum Extendo edition. And as he's talking his shit to Jenny Mnemonic, the main Yakuza dude shows up and just pumps him full of lead from behind.
And the Ghost of the Machine showed up, hacked into Jones's thing, way outside of her corporation, to warn the CEO not to do that and to beg him to help Johnny. I mean, it's the climax. You have to converge all the,
yes,
all the character elements.
So then Jenny Mnemonic starts fighting with the leader of the Yakuza Death Squad. And this is the moment that I realize that the filament whip comes out of his thumb.
When they're struggling over it, yeah.
Yes, and essentially, Jenny Mnemonic pulls the filament out and cuts the bad guy free to fall down to his death.
But cuts his head off, too.
Cuts his head off. Absolutely magnificent.
We saw it in the beginning of the movie, but when he first meets the CEO mentions that he had turned his shame into an advantage. So evidently, like, he failed and the Yakuza cut his thumb off, so he turned it into a weapon.
Yeah, he said, I see that you removed my thumb. I will add a mystery light-up extreme filament whip. An amazing redemption story of the Yakuza CEO, which at this point could have just stayed dead.
Yes.
He pops back up and starts fighting the street preacher who has showed up.
Full of holes.
He quickly dies, and then Jones the Dolphin starts the demise of the street preacher with the super microwave and is just frying the street preacher. And Jenny Mnemonic then grabs a giant live wire and rams it into his hand, and they ultimately fry the super cybernetic street preacher Christian fanatic.
It is the only way to kill Dolph Lundgren.
Truly.
We've all seen Dolph Lundgren's other movies. You can't defeat him any other way.
I have two more notes left.
Perfect.
They defeat the street preacher. They're running low on time. Jenny Mnemonic jumps back into essentially what is Professor X's headgear.
It's Internet 3.0, yes.
Puts this thing on, he gets in there, and when you think the action is over, they give you some bonus action, which is Microsoft 95 pixel art CGI Keanu
Yes.
doubles himself in the digital realm to fight the virus system put in place by the corporation to protect the cure for the black shakes.
That's where Janie's watching it on a monitor and is like, what's happening? And J-Bone is explaining. He's safe. He doubled himself. It's fine.
So, of course, he defeats the virus system with the help of Jones the Dolphin, hacks his own brain.
It all downloads in like 2 seconds.
They send out the cure for the world.
Via a TV broadcast.
It's a beautiful, happy ending.
It's like Fallout living room sofa that Jones sits down on to broadcast the NAS cure via the television worldwide.
Probably truly the best part of the movie. They're standing there celebrating. The camera pans over. You see the hands and the head of the street preacher's Terminator-style corpse start to lift, and then they turn around and they pan up and they're using a magnetic crane to pick his body up. And then J-Bone, aka Ice-T, says, "Get rid of the trash," and they just throw it into the Hudson River, which I feel like is where most of the major corporations throw their trash.
I honestly think this movie is pure joy and delight. It has legitimately been 4 or 5 years since I've seen it. I don't know why Keanu and his bodyguard kiss. There's no real reason for it. There's no like romantic lead-in or tie-in. I love the street preacher. I love the chop shop doc with a chip on his shoulder, who's a Luddite of all things as a doctor. I love the statement on transhumanism and transdolphinism, evidently, transmammalism. It was one of those things that made me, for years, go, I would love to have a hard drive in my head, but I don't want to be an early adopter. Get the bugs out first.
Yeah, no kidding.
It makes me want to play Shadowrun. It makes me want to play Cyberpunk. Makes me want to buy the Cyberpunk 2077 game.
There's also a funny, like, unresolved thing is that all throughout the movie, Johnny Mnemonic references how he, like, deleted the memories of his childhood.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And they show us a scene from his childhood, from his 7th birthday, but that's it. They never explain. They show his mom, who kind of roughly looks like she might be the founder of the CEO. I don't know if that's what they were going for.
It was totally unresolved. I think whatever explanation, he wanted the hard drive out and he wanted his memories restored. And he's having this one ghost memory every time, like his brain jitters from having 320 gigs downloaded into his 160 gig hard drive head. Even then, he has an entire fight scene with no problem until they need him to spaz a little, and then the slightest jostling of his head, and he goes into seizures and in that ghost memory. They never give his memory back. They don't pull the hard drive out. They just download the NAS cure. We are left to determine what happens to Johnny after he saves the world.
My guess is they were prepping for a Johnny Mnemonic 2.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
Imagine this. Imagine they bring back Johnny Mnemonic in 2022.
And they don't fix the time. They're just like,
It's old, weathered salt and pepper Keanu Reeves in 2022, but it's taking place in 2022.
I would be okay with the Johnny Mnemonic revisit.
That would be an awesome, like, mystery redo. Like, if they just revamp Johnny Mnemonic with today's tech, I think it would be. If they could get Keanu on board, it would be insane.
They downloaded a petabyte into your head. Oh, I don't know if you caught this. So when they break into the electronics store, and he's just naming off all this tech, and she's just grabbing it off the shelves, like she immediately finds it. Which, I mean, I get it. You got to move the scene along, right? So there's the visor, the gloves, the hookup, the this, the jack. One of the things he says is an iPhone something or other.
It's even better than that. He says a Thompson iPhone.
Yes, a Thompson iPhone. Thank you.
And I looked at Nicole and I was like, what?
I adore this movie. It makes me want to go back and read and watch more cyberpunk stuff.
Well, I mean, if this movie sparks you to, after Christmas, purchase the Cyberpunk 2077 game, I'm excited to hear what your opinion of that would be because self-help, our music man. And my dear friend has been playing that game and he's been sending me some pretty funny screenshots. I don't know if this is a spoiler and it's out of context, so it shouldn't be a spoiler. There's a scene where Keanu Reeves' character is sitting and there is a guy crucified. And he sent me this and he was like, iconic imagery or something, and like with like a LOL tied to it. And now that we have just watched Johnny Mnemonic and then there's the street preacher. I'm going to hope that the creators of Cyberpunk 2077 are a fan of Johnny Mnemonic.
I can't see how they wouldn't be if they're hiring Keanu Reeves to be in a cyberpunk world.
That's true.
They've got to be fans. I mean, yes, The Matrix is technically cyberpunk, but they've got to be fans of Johnny Mnemonic. I don't know how you couldn't be. It's such a pure, awesome, terrible movie.
Well, I think that is a great place to end it because it is, in fact, a beautiful, terrible, amazing movie. And I will absolutely be revisiting this movie in the next probably year or so.
I think I pitched it to you as, I think you would like to own this movie. I make no promises, but I'm pretty sure.
And then it turns out I did own it and have owned it for 5 years, at minimum 5 to 6 years. So I just haven't seen it.
Damn your DVD collection.
Please, if anybody listening has seen this or watches this, I am begging you to just send us an email or anything with just a few of your like off-the-cuff thoughts.
100%. All right, let's cut here. We truly do want you to get involved in our conversations. To do that, our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. You can also hit Joel up on Instagram @orderofbattlepod, or me, Jason, on Twitter @orderofbattlepd. As always, thanks for listening, and thank you for participating. This has been The Order of Battle.
Are we rolling?
Yeah.
Awesome. I was going to say, that was a really good, I hope that was recorded. Okay.